The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Donna Anselmo. I'm happy to be with you this week. We have Pete Anselmo in the studio.
Happy to be here.
And every week on Bold Talk Business Radio, we deliver insights, strategies, tips, and tools for success in business and life. And we're happy that you're joining us today because we're going to be talking about an unusual topic and one we have not, to my recollection, discussed on Bold Talk Business Radio in all our years on the air, and that's digital healthcare. And this is a new trend in the healthcare industry, and there is an app called Curely, C-U-R-E-L-Y, that can connect patients to doctors right from their phones in the comfort of their own homes. So this benefits patients because they no longer need to sit in waiting rooms to get a doctor's opinion. It also is a new business opportunity for doctors, and we're privileged to have on the line with us Dr. Paul Lee, who is traveling internationally, and he is the founder of Curely, and he's connected in with us to the radio station today to talk about how the Curely app serves as a supplemental health service. Dr. Lee is an Oxford-educated medical doctor with a vision to create what he calls borderless healthcare using an app. So let's talk about that. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lee. And I'm interested to know right now a little bit about Curely and how doctors are using this app. Dr. Lee, I believe you're there.
Yes,
okay.
I am.
Okay, now I hear you.
Okay, perfect. So basically, Curely envisions a world where doctors and consumers can connect regardless of borders or location through a mobile technology to bridge the gap between online and offline practices and care, so that all the many great advancements and the innovations that are happening in the 21st century can be all funneled through your fingertips. We want to empower doctors, help them grow their practice and reach beyond borders to generate new areas of revenue. For patients and consumers, it's our desire to enable better, more affordable access to constant preventative care without any limitations anywhere in the world. So that's essentially what Curely does and Curely stands for.
So can you give us an example of how somebody would get to consult with a doctor using your app? Where do they start? How does it work? Let's kind of create a picture for people about it, and then we can talk a little more about the philosophy of the why and how and where.
Sure. So all you need to do, we're available on iOS app stores as well as Android app stores. So you just need to download the app. As soon as you download it, you can sign up using Facebook or just your email. And then it's as simple as going into the app, choosing a doctor that or a health professional that you want to talk to in any specialty, in any location, and even any language that you choose. We have currently healthcare professionals in 49 countries, which means they speak various languages that you can cater for, basically. And after choosing your healthcare professional, all you need to do is either do an inbox mail, which is an asynchronous method of communication where you send your question in and the doctor replies back in 24 hours. Or you can talk to them on a WhatsApp-like experience where it's a multimedia instant text chat. So you can be talking to a healthcare professional instantly in a live version with the ability to send videos as well as voice notes as well as photos.
That brings me to a question. When you're talking about sending your medical or healthcare information over the internet, how does that mesh with healthcare compliance rules such as HIPAA regulations?
That's a very good question. Right now, because our platform is anonymous to the consumers, they don't have to input any of their personal information other than the cases that they're giving. They don't need to. Our platform right now does not have to be HIPAA compliant because we don't form a doctor-patient relationship. Now, HIPAA compliance and the privacy security measurements we're working on right now, and we'll be totally HIPAA compliant as well as doctor-patient relationship focused in the next phase of our application. But currently, because it's only information gathering and information seeking marketplace, we are not currently HIPAA compliant.
So tell me how this is ostensibly better than somebody doing research on the internet, putting in a search term and looking for answers. Where's the difference there?
Sure. Well, firstly, without a trained eye, it's very difficult to filter through all the information that's available on the internet. I mean, some are very useful, but in order to get to that useful information and to get to the information that you need at your current focus and current time, it's very difficult. It's much easier to just talk to a professional that knows your condition that you can talk to, and then they can tell you exactly what you need. And because they're the experts, you can save time and you can save the efforts. And also, you can filter through all the garbage that's out there on the internet. So it saves you time, money, as well as it gives you peace of mind.
I'd like to ask you about the qualifying process that you go through to vet the healthcare professionals on your app, because I know that one of the issues that I have, for instance, when I look up a medical concern or any other information, business-related, life-related, I don't know who's writing that information. I don't know how credentialed they were. I don't know how accurate it is. I don't know if there's been like a timestamp, you know, where something has changed necessarily. So talk to me a little bit about why customers should have confidence in the concept of digital healthcare and specifically in your product. And this is an opportunity
right
here for you to, you know, to tell us why it makes sense for us.
Right. No, that's a very good point. We have a very strict verification process for our physicians and healthcare professionals on Curely because, as you have just mentioned, it's critical that consumers around the world can actually trust the platform and be able to believe in the healthcare professional's advice. Now, there are multiple ways we verify. The first thing is only the healthcare professionals that are invited by other healthcare professionals on Curely can actually sign up as a healthcare professional. So a doctor who's already on Curely, who has already been verified, can only invite their friends or colleagues who are actual doctors to come on board. That's the first method of verification. The second is all the healthcare professionals on Curely must send in their medical licenses, their government-issued voter ID, and these all have to match with their bank account credentials so that we know exactly who the account holder is and whether they are licensed in that particular specialty, whether their license has not expired, whether they have any malpractice suits against them or anything along those lines. So we have a very strict verification process, and it takes up to a week for us to verify a physician. Because we're a global platform, we allow healthcare professionals from all over the world to join us. It's a little time consuming for us to verify each and every doctor, but we make sure our verification process is strict so that consumers around the world can actually be confident that they are talking to the professional and an expert in that area.
That's one of the questions that I had about this was that there's a great variability around the world with respect to medicine and different qualifying skills for the doctors. And I was just wondering, how do you account for some of this variation?
Right. Now, that's a very good question, because at Curely, we don't hire the doctors, or we don't specifically, you know, show which doctor is better than the other. We're a marketplace. Just as you see in Airbnb or Uber, we allow consumers who have already consulted the doctor to leave review and rate them, which means we're a mobile marketplace where healthcare professionals are opening up their clinics online. So they're entrepreneurs themselves, and they are putting up the information about themselves. They are giving the consultations, they're getting rated and reviewed, which means the consumers themselves can search and evaluate doctors and review them, but also choose the one that has the best review, despite or regardless of where the doctor is from or which language he speaks or which specialty he's in. They can search and talk to the doctor that fits their needs.
You're listening to Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1060 WMEL. This is your host, Donna Anselmo, with Pete Anselmo in the studio and Dr. Paul Lee, who's traveling globally on the line with us. Dr. Lee is the founder and CEO of a company called Curely, CURELY.com. And we've been talking about advances in healthcare to the point where people can get on the internet through an app and connect with a physician pretty much, or a healthcare worker, pretty much anywhere in the world because they can choose where they want to go. You can choose where you want to go for some healthcare information. And that leads me to ask a question, which is, Dr. Lee, where did this come from? How did you go from studying, I know you have an MD, how did you go from studying medicine to deciding that there was a place for this type of service?
Well, it happened about 3 years ago, actually. I mean, I was fortunate enough to live in different continents at various ages. So I experienced the NHS system when I was in England. I experienced the Asian healthcare system when I was in Korea. And I also experienced the American healthcare system when I was in the US. The funny thing is, they're all broken. And it's ridiculous waiting in a waiting room for about an hour and being able to talk to a healthcare professional for about 3 minutes. So we decided at Curely that there had to be something done and we needed to revolutionize healthcare. And the best model to do it, we believed, was to create a marketplace for healthcare professionals and consumers around the world. And rather than being it a localized or domestic kind of platform, we wanted to be a global platform where, you know, doctors around the world can actually cater to consumers around the world. And if you look at the current situation around the world right now, there's a lot of people seeking healthcare advice abroad because they want to be able to talk to health professionals, you know, despite their location or their demographics, but talk to the best ones out there. And we wanted to provide a platform that allowed that, that allowed doctors who, you know, are maybe in Korea or in Japan, but have the best knowledge out there, and people can actually reach out to them and talk to them despite their location.
I'm just curious. How has the medical community received your app? It strikes me this is a great democratization of the medical industry, and I find that sometimes that's not well received by the physicians.
That's a very good question, and that's a very good point. Within the 3 months that we launched a live version, we managed to get 800 physicians signed up. So, and that was in 28 countries at the beginning. So we had a very, very good response from the healthcare professionals.
I'm sorry to interrupt here. I would imagine that this so-called democratization also gives the physician some additional control, especially in the United States, some additional control over their decisions and their access to patients when so many physicians are curtailed and stuck in the red tape and the bureaucracy of the insurance companies and the HMOs that they're dealing with. So if I belong to an HMO and I'm a doctor and I take, I belong, say, to a practice plan, can I, independent of that practice plan, still join Curely?
Sure. So basically, Curely is a platform that any doctor, any professionals can join. And because they're opening up their own little online clinic, it's private pay only. So we have nothing to do with insurance or any of the middleman in between. And that was the whole purpose we actually made Curely, because the whole system is so broken worldwide, we wanted to get rid of all the middleman in between. So we just wanted to connect healthcare professionals with consumers directly in a mobile marketplace manner.
Wonderful. So my question to you then, of course, leads to how do people pay for this? How much does it cost to get care? You did mention that the doctors set their own prices. So how do people pay, and how are healthcare workers compensated?
Sure. So it's private pay only. The consumers just need to input their credit card, just like Uber or Airbnb. The minimum charge basically depends on, you know, the healthcare professionals and how much they're charging. So it depends on the doctors that you choose. But the inbox mail, which is an asynchronous communication method, as I said before, and one question going forward may cost as little as $2. And a live conversation with a doctor may cost as little as $10 for 12 minutes. So it depends on the doctor, because they all set their own prices. And it's very important to notice that we don't hire them. They are coming on and opening up their own practices. So the doctors themselves are entrepreneurs as well.
Yes, and it's kind of like having your own Amazon or Etsy shop, but on Curely.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. Now, the doctors get 70% of all their earnings, because we take a commission cut for every consultation. But because we've gamified the whole thing, the doctors can earn up to 79% depending on their activities and their roles on Curely.
So a process like this, having access to digital healthcare, opens access for people who are on very limited budgets, who maybe can't even afford their healthcare insurance. I don't want to even tell you my premium that I'm paying now. I did not get to keep my doctors, keep my plan. And
wow.
That was a big disappointment, because I really was very happy with my other plan. So talking to a health professional maybe starts at $10. I see in your online information for a 12-minute chat session, or $2
right.
for an email.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about the relationships. You talked about that kind of as an evolving piece of what you're doing, Dr. Lee. But mm-hmm. I know I want to have I want to have confidence in my doctor. I'm used to, and this is a big thing, being used to something, because changing behavior is not easy for people. We have a great opportunity here, I think you do with your company, because people are used to going on the internet for information now. So I think that makes a difference. I don't know
right.
that they're used to going on the internet, talking to a complete stranger for healthcare information, but I see why it would be attractive to do that, particularly because it puts you in control of your healthcare as a consumer, and it
Definitely.
Gives you an opportunity to do it at a price that you can afford. But what do you anticipate is going to be the impact on the doctor healthcare healthcare provider relationship with their customers as a function of an app like Curely?
Well, basically, I think it has to go back to, you know, when medicine was actually medicine, and medicine was actually, you know, healthcare, not sick care. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to shift the paradigm into everyone thinking that you have to own your own medical data, and you have to really manage your healthcare like, you know, you're managing your finances. So you need to really take charge. And what we're saying is you can do that with Curely, because you can have all the online health information that you need straight coming from the experts themselves, and you can talk to them for preventative and constant care. Because in order to get constant care and be able to manage your health, you need to be able to talk to a specialist. You need to be able to talk to an expert anytime that you choose. And that's very important for us.
Thank you, Dr. Lee. Pete has a question.
Yeah, I was wondering about that specific question. Do you see that the app will be driving people to the specialists? In other words, is this another blow, would you say, against the generalist doctor, the family doctor?
The GPs.
Yeah, exactly.
We are at the moment, to be honest with you, looking at our data, we're getting a lot of consultations from consumers to the GPs themselves, so the general practitioners, because of the price differences as well. Because specialists tend to be a lot more expensive than the general practitioners. So the consumers who are seeking general information or information about their healthcare, just generalized, they tend to go after the GPs who are less expensive.
Okay.
So they're getting actually more consultations than we expected.
Well, we have under 2 minutes left to this show. So, Dr. Lee, I want to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners how they can find out more about Curely and how they can reach Curely doctors.
Sure. So please go online and look at our website, curely.co. Also, please download our app on the iOS as well as the Android app stores. Currently, we have over 250,000 downloads to our app, and we're getting over 8,200 consultations every month. So the market is growing very, very steeply. We have a lot of specialists in more than 29 specialty areas. So please go online and talk to healthcare professionals so that you can manage your health better and can help us transform digital healthcare together.
Well, it's been interesting speaking with you, very, very informative and kind of curious to hear this new information today from you. I'm very interested in, and I'm sure our listeners are. And I want to thank you, Dr. Paul Lee, for being with us and remind our listeners that the web address is Curely, CURELY.co, C-O, not .com. So look for Curely.co for more information on this subject. And in the meantime, I want you to stay tuned. Come back after the news break when we are going to be talking about success tips that'll help you to close more sales. So if you want to improve your sales statistics, definitely stay tuned for the next segment of Bold Talk Business Radio coming back after the news today. We want you to make it a bold week, and that means you have to believe in yourself, open yourself to opportunities, love what you do, and then dare and dive into doing the things you need to do to get your business done. We thought it was really interesting to talk to Dr. Paul Lee earlier about kind of revolutionary things happening in healthcare, where instead of the usual healthcare model we had and still have, where people go and actually visit and sit in a doctor's office and meet with the doctor and get information from the doctor or other healthcare worker, they now can go online. You can go online to an app called Curely, CURELY.co, that's C-O, Curely.co, and download that app and be able to pay to access a healthcare professional online and you can send them pictures of your rash or your broken bone or your bruise or whatever, and get somebody who can respond and tell you what they think. And then there's also an opportunity just to chat online without doing video or without actually speaking to the person. It's kind of an interesting thing to market. Since I'm a marketer, it's always interesting to see, number one, where the innovative ideas come from, and number two, what people are doing with them. And it's interesting to me also that Curely being digital is right there at the kind of forefront of using social media to attract attention and to actually interact with their customers. And it was interesting in that segment also because Dr. Lee told us how they vet their physicians and other healthcare workers that use the service to connect with patients, one first step in the process is that once you're vetted by them, you can invite your other healthcare colleagues to the table to be on Curaleaf.
I think you're
That's
right.
That's social.
Exactly. It was very interesting. The other point, I think, too, is that it's a global or worldwide group of doctors, so that you get the benefit of Eastern medicine, you get the benefit of natural medicine, you get the benefit of kind of a worldwide medical community, which is truly significant.
That's pretty interesting, Pete Anselmo, because when I talk to people about their healthcare, and particularly, you know, there's a lot of discussion that we always have about the healthcare regulations and the Affordable Care Act, et cetera. And one of the things that many people will use as kind of a default criticism of the American healthcare system is that there's other things happening in other countries that aren't happening here. And so I can't Right. get access to a treatment in Mexico or in France or, you know, elsewhere in Europe or Asia. But now with an app like Curaleaf, you can connect with the provider of your choice and get your questions answered about opportunities and healthcare treatments that may not be available here. And you can possibly even work with a doc across the world for that. And that can have an impact on preventative care and health maintenance, too. Interesting.
Yeah. And I think the important point here also is that it gives the individual a lot more control over their healthcare decisions. I think that's really significant. It's an avenue whereby you can take more control over what's available worldwide, really, which
Sure.
is amazing.
Well, let's make clear that we're not advocating or recommending that type of healthcare.
Yeah, no.
Everybody makes their own choices and decisions. But, it is another thing out there that people have the ability to choose from, and choice is generally a good thing. So on Bold Talk Business Radio, as we say every week, we deliver insights, strategies, tips, and tools for success. And we want to do that so that people can be successful in their business, but also in their personal life and or their career and or the place at which those intersect, because you do bring yourself and your personal thinking everywhere you go, whether it's to your home life or to your work life or to your social life. Right, Pete?
Absolutely. And I just ran across this this morning. It's a quote, and it's from Henry Ford. And he said, if you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. And
very
I think that's very interesting, because he's pointing out the importance of attitude. And your attitude is what you bring with you to all your circumstances, whether it's in business or the social life, or your personal life, whatever it might be. The attitude that you bring with you is within your control, and it's extremely important.
In the last segment of our show, I promised that during this segment we were going to give you a success tip about how you can increase your sales performance, improve your sales performance, increase your win statistics. And Pete Anselmo is going to give us some more information on that. But since we're talking about attitude, I want to maybe give you three R's that I think the three R's of attitude should be. Number one, R word is responsibility. If you are trying to sell a product or you're trying to achieve anything in this world, you need to take 100% responsibility for your own attitude in making that happen and the steps that you take.
Yeah, I think that the responsibility is key for your attitude. And it's something that carries throughout your life, that individuals need to accept that you are responsible for attitude, for behavior, and that it's not, you shouldn't be looking outside of yourself as much as looking within yourself. And the difference, attitude, a good positive attitude, a yes attitude, is the difference between saying I'm sorry or saying thank you.
Well, that's a very good point. I think also that when we're talking about taking responsibility, it's important to understand that responsibility is, you know, works in various ways. Sometimes when I say take 100% responsibility for what you're doing, I'm meaning take responsibility for the fact of what you're doing in terms of what's in your control or influence, under your ability to influence. And one of those aspects is your emotion.
Your emotion is very important. And being able to control your emotions and what you bring to any circumstance is extremely important, so that you're not losing control of a situation.
So when I'm talking about responsibility, I'm not saying to you, you have to be over responsible. You have to take control over everything you do. You have to take charge of every piece of a complicated project. I'm not telling you not to delegate. But what I am suggesting is that you remember that when you are managing the aspects of a project that are in your control, it's really important that, because responsibility helps to eliminate the blame game that people play. And blame is very, very common, particularly in the sales situation where people make excuses for why they're not selling.
Yeah, well, selling is a particularly difficult area because your attitude is absolutely critical in the selling situation. I think what is most significant, or what the biggest difference is for the sales person, is that they have to deal in an environment where rejection is a significant aspect of what they do. Most salespeople have to deal with a great deal of rejection.
Well, that brings me to another one of those R words. I said I was going to give you the three R's of selling. One is responsibility, but another one is resilience. You must be resilient in the face of rejection or the face of decisions not going your way in the sales situation. It's very important that when you are resilient, it's important to know this, resilient means you can bounce back. So in the case where you have to take a no for an answer that you really wanted a yes to, and you're going to make yourself feel bad about it, feeling bad isn't going to help you. But coming back, bouncing back by saying, okay, I'll get them next time, or taking stock of what you did that didn't work out for you that time, can help you to be more resilient. The key is in not taking it personally. Don't let it hurt your heart. And there are some strategies that we can talk about that will help you understand what blocks you from being more resistant. And in some cases, I'm going to go into this a little bit, Pete. I hope you don't mind, because I think that this is something people can think about.
No, I think it's important.
One of the things that stops us from being resilient often is that we have an inner judge inside of us, this inner voice that tells us if we're good or bad, if we're right or wrong, if we're doing a good job, if we're misbehaving in some way. And in many people, that inner judge, who we all have, whether we call it our inner CEO, our subconscious, our superconscious, our superego, that can make us feel bad. So if you find yourself hearing in your self-talk or hearing in your thoughts or feeling that you have a lot of words like should, I should have done that. You have a lot of I have to do this, or I don't do that, or I'm not this. And you find yourself feeling bad, guilty, ashamed, or sometimes feeling low self-worth. What you want to do is find out and really dig deep to understand where your inner judge is coming from, and to take 100% responsibility, another one of our R words, for transforming that inner judge to become your inner cheerleader by taking stock of what's in your control, what's in your influence. Make yourself feel good about where you're at in your life by being realistic. That's probably a fourth R, is being realistic. So a lot of times low self-worth comes about because of negative comparisons and limiting beliefs about ourselves. So you might be putting yourself down or feeling bad or unmotivated. And a lot of people get demotivated. If something doesn't work out right, I've planned my sales pitch. I'm going to go in and I'm going to meet my customer. And I expect that person to say yes, because I've planned it so well, and something doesn't quite go right. Maybe the customer has an objection to a part of your product performance, and yet you take that very personally. So if you're putting yourself down, feeling bad, unmotivated, insecure, or maybe seeing other people, even the customer across the table from you, as feeling superior, then you need to start thinking about what's getting in the way of your own self-worth and uncovering the limiting belief that you're holding that is keeping you stuck in not being able to take yourself to a better place.
Well, I think what you're talking about really is what a salesperson sort of has to have as their basic starting point in a selling situation. In other words, a positive attitude is extremely important. It's absolutely essential. And so that attitude, the positive attitude, is the armor that the salesperson has to put on before they go out and do their job. It's just the same as a football player putting on his pads. He doesn't go out and play the game without his pads on. And the same thing is true for the salesperson, that the attitude that you go out with is absolutely essential. And that attitude comes from within, for the most part. And what is particularly important is that you have to recognize as a salesperson that you're not going to close every circumstance. Let's put it this way. A baseball player who bats 300 can get into the Hall of Fame. Now, that's only being successful one-third of the time. And so there are many professions or many skilled functions that you do that you're not going to be successful all the time.
Well, I went to a Brian Tracy seminar years ago in Orlando, Florida, and he talked about how he was so down and out when he started selling, and now he's one of the world's leading sales gurus and trainers. What he talked about was he realized that there was a kind of a phenomenon happening, which was it took him about 25 calls to get to a good prospect, in other words, who was ready, willing, and able to buy. So instead of feeling bad every time he had a rejection from a customer he called on, he said, okay, one down, I'm getting closer to the person who's going to buy. That's a function of attitude. And so we talked earlier about being able to accept rejection. And that's so important, because it is a given that you are going to be rejected way more often than you're going to be chosen in sales. It's just, you know, it's a numerical law. Mm-hmm. So maintaining a good attitude will help you to create the ability to manage your emotions in the moment. But also, if you can remain positive, you can remain more distant, and more distant from the pain of rejection. And to do that, what happens is you have to kind of step out of it a little bit, so enough, far enough that you can look at the process that just happened and do a quick debriefing with yourself and look at, okay, well, what part of this did I do really well? What part of it could I have changed? What part of it was totally out of my control? And a lot of times you're going to find that maybe it wasn't the right prospect to begin with, and so there wasn't very much you were going to do in that situation to sell to that person. But one of the key things I want you to remember also is that when you keep yourself in that mind frame where you're open to the fact that, yeah, life is still good and we're moving forward despite a rejection, you can stay focused on your ability to find out what else you need to learn and then create the next steps so that you figure out how to improve that situation for next time. I know Pete has something he wants to share on this, and then I'm going to give you another R of sales.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that you're talking to AM 1060 WMEL. It's Donna Anselmo's Bold Talk Business Radio, and I'm Pete Anselmo, who is helping out here. And what we're trying to do is to talk a little bit today about the sales situation, about selling, and about attitude. That our point really is that for the salesperson, it's very, very important that you have a good, positive attitude, because your attitude is significant in being successful in that role as the salesman.
One of the things I want you to know is that you can find a coach who can help you to develop the right attitude and keep you accountable to yourself and kind of help you get out of your own way when you're stuck. Because a lot of times we don't move forward is because we're stuck in a belief that isn't working for us, or we're stuck in a process that isn't working for us. And again, it comes back to Einstein's theory on you can't continue to do the same things over and over again and expect to get a different result. One of the things I would like for you to think about is being relentless, also the other R word that I promised. So we talked about responsibility for doing what's in your control, focusing on what's in your control and influence in the sales process, being resilient in the face of rejection, and being relentless about the quality of the products and services that you are going to deliver. Because if you're not relentless about that, it's going to affect your reputation. And I want to encourage you that if you have questions about how you can develop the sales attitude that you want, you can contact me at donna@boldmarketingsolutions.com, or you can call Pete at peter@boldmarketingsolutions.com. And if you have a pen handy, you can write down this phone number and reach us at, get ready, get your pen, ready, set, go. It's 321-622-4138. And you can actually speak with us personally about what you have to do to get off the mark and improve your sales. Pete, I know, had a special tip for you today, a success tip on something you really need to be able to distinguish between. And we have less than 3 minutes, so I want him to talk to you about the difference between going out on a sales call and understanding what you're about. Two and a half minutes.
I think the important distinction on a sales call is the distinction between giving an estimate and selling. When you go out, particularly if you're going out, let's say, to businesses, or you're going out to a homeowner, it's very important that you have an attitude that this is a sales situation. You're going to get the customer to buy a product, to draw up a small contract, whatever it might be. But that's what you're doing today. You're not simply giving out numbers. And making that distinction is extremely important. One of the things that I find very often with particularly in-home sales is that many people go to the home and simply give out a number, whether it's for house painting, whether it's for landscaping, tree removal, you name it. They're there simply to give out a number. And basically, they are driving the price to the lowest common denominator. And that's what you don't want to do. You want to make a sales presentation, and that involves preparation. And we'll get into further on another occasion to the other details for the selling